I'd like to thank everyone for being with us this evening. I would like to call the State and Local Government and Elections Conference Committee meeting to order on this Monday, May 19th, 2025. There is a quorum present. We will begin our agenda this evening with the adoption of the spreadsheet, the table document, and amendments presented by nonpartisan staff on the state government section. We'll begin with the spreadsheet for the state government finance. Ms. Roberts, if you would like to, these are all agreed items between the conference committee. The date stamp that I have on the report is May 18th, 2025, 3:15. And this is to be included in the conference committee report. Ms. Roberts, if you would like to quickly, just really high level, go through the report.
Oops, sorry, I forget which room I'm in. Really quickly, you can see the legislature is funded at $23.2 million for the biennium, the state auditor at $3.3 million for the biennium, the attorney general at $4 million plus an additional $1 million increase to the, I'm sorry, these are fundings above base.
Yes.
Going very quickly, so I'll try to make things a little more clear. An additional $1 million above the base from the state government special revenue fund, the secretary of state, an increase of $1 million plus $4.2 million in estimated late penalties from the special revenue fund. You'll see the State Board of Investment is listed. The conference committee does not fund that change item. Capital investment, or the Capital Area Board, is the first of many small agencies that I won't go through in detail, but those are all operating increases that were requested by the governor. Those are all funded, both for the small agencies and for the cabinet agencies. Administrative hearings, funding of the $30,000 increase from the increase for the general fund, and then $1.8 million from the workers' compensation fund. Minnesota IT services, the increase there is just the operating fund of $564,000. Under Department of Administration, there are several changes. The operating adjustment, there's a reduction for the Enterprise Translation Office, an increase for in lieu of rent, a reduction for the Infrastructure Advisory Council, and then so that totals $1.6 million. And then in addition, there's a $3 million direct appropriation out of the Special Revenue Fund to the Ramsey County for capital area livability improvements. For Minnesota Management and Budget, an increase of $3.4 million. This includes the operating adjustment and then $717,000 one time for the Office of Strategic Planning. There is an operating adjustment of $12.7 million for the Department of Revenue, a change for the Racing Commission non-general fund of $875,000. And then the next few items on this page are all small agency or ethnic council operating increases. And then continuing on to the second page, again, you'll see operating increases for the Indian Affairs Council, and then the LBTQ Council has an operating adjustment plus an additional increase of $100,000. The Historical Society and the Arts Board also are funded at the governor's level with the operating increase, and then the four occupational licensing boards are funded at the governor's level with the operating increases. And the final spending item is the one-time spending for the Children, Youth, and Family Department for the Transit Assistance Program, and there's a revenue item related to that. If you don't, I will just note there are several offsetting revenues. I won't go through those one at a time. And then at the very bottom of the spreadsheet, you'll see the total spending. The total net spending, general fund spending for the state government portion of this bill is $1.354 million. You'll see at the bottom. That includes the spending increases over base for state government agencies, plus the $1.7 million that was a reduction from fiscal year 25.
Thank you, and we are in alignment with the budget forecast, or the budget plan that we had for this committee, is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Thank you. Is there any comment, discussion? These are all agreed upon items. Seeing none, Chair Zhang, would you like to move adoption?
So moved.
Thank you. Chair Zhang moves adoption of the recommendations. All those in favor of the adoptions for the spreadsheet, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails and the spreadsheet is adopted. Next, we have the policy document. This is classified as Motion 4, State Government Policy and Secretary of State Business Fraud Filing Provisions. Mr. Sullivan, if you could please quickly, very high level, please go through the document. Thank you.
Yeah, Madam Chair and members, I'll do the most of this first page and then pass it to Ms. James to pick up on the bottom of page one with the fraud payment withholding row. But starting at the top, these are two House-only provisions. Legislative leadership, this authorizes the House and Senate to increase the number of leadership positions by one. The next two rows are House File 3 from the House. You can see in the far right column, the motion is to adopt both of those sections from Chair Nash's House File 3. Next is fraud data sharing. This was carried in the House bill. There is an amendment to the House language that is was requested by the administration. It provides that basically payment refunds by the Department of Revenue, data kept pursuant to those refunds are not subject to the requirement or the authorization to share data with other agencies, the federal government, or law enforcement. And then the A43 amendment, which is in your packets, also flips the language so that with the amendment, agencies would not be permitted to share data if sharing of data is prohibited by another statute or law.
July 1st, 2027. On the next page is the repealer of the Advisory Council on Infrastructure, and then budget forecast. This item is an amendment in your packets. This is the A115. This provides that when MMB does the budget forecasting, that they do not assume that the legislature is going to pass a bonding bill. The next item is also not from either side, but this is an MMB request to give agencies the authority to, admin, the authority to suspend a contract. And this, the document number here is A116 in your packet. It authorizes the state to suspend performance on obligations of a contract when there's no funding, when funding has been terminated, delayed, or suspended. And that goes in a couple places in the bill for different kinds of contracts. And then lastly is the carry forward authority. And this is document A118 in your packets. This authorizes executive agencies to carry forward balances of unspent non-grant operating balances from one biennium to the next in three successive biennium.
Madam Chair, on the page three, Secretary of State business filing fraud, you'll see there are two rows in this table. It's the House language that the committee, I believe, intends to adopt in this area. With a couple of amendments, the House proposed a late penalty for those who renew their business entity after it has already expired. The House language authorizes the Secretary of State to impose a penalty of up to $25. As amended by the A45 in your packets, that maximum would increase to $40 as business needs require. And then the rest of the language is also House. There's just a technical change to the effective date just to clean up the language there, and that's the A48.
Thank you, Mr. Colby. And then what we're going to do, members, is we're going to go through a very quick, rapid succession of votes on amendments. So, I'm going to come back to that one. Okay. So for the motion on the motion four, these will be the amendments that have just been described, and we're going to go through those in rapid succession. So the chair moves the A43. All those in favor of adoption of the A43, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails. Next, the chair moves A26 amendment. Oh, thank you for the correction, Ms. Stephanie. Ms. James, correction. The chair moves the A126 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. Next, we have the A115 amendment. Any discussion? All those, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. The A16, 116 again, thank you. The A116 amendment. Any discussion to the A116? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. Next, we have the A118 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails. Next, we have the A45 amendment. Any discussion to the A45? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails. Next, we have the A48 amendment. Any discussion to the A48? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. Mr. Sullivan, we need to make a motion to reconsider the agency advertising portion. Would you please walk us through that?
Madam Chair, excuse me. At a prior meeting, the committee...
Put your mic on. Okay.
The committee voted to adopt the Senate regarding agency advertising expenditures. The motion tonight would be to reconsider, first take a vote quickly to reconsider adoption of the Senate language, then to adopt the A17 amendment, which basically clarifies changes that Ms. James could describe if you would like, and then to readopt Senate Section 14 from Article 2 as amended.
Chair Zhang, would you like to move that change?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair?
Yes, thank you.
Could I have Ms. James explain what this does
before
we do that?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Ms. James.
Madam Chair, members, the A117 removes the encouragement for agencies to spend a portion of their budgets, their advertising budgets, on local news media. And leaves in place a reporting requirement to report about their advertising activities.
All of those in favor of the motion to reconsider, please, is there any discussion to the motion to reconsider? Thank you, Ms. James, I appreciate that. I see no discussion on the motion to reconsider. All those in favor of the motion to reconsider, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails. Next, we move to the adoption of the A117. All those in favor of the adoption of the A117, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails. Thank you. Okay, the next section that we have, I have to find out where I am now. Nope. Okay. In your packet, members, you will see that as part of the spreadsheet agreement, there was an agreement by MMB to the commitment to the Healthy Aging Plan, and that commitment letter is dated May 16th, 2025, and I just want to make sure that that's part of the record of this meeting. So I wanted to bring your attention to that. The next item I wanted to bring to your attention is a promise that I made to Chair Marty. The task force on legislator training on grants issuance is not in our bill, but I have made a commitment with Chair Marty that we would have legislators who are interested in this topic to come together and work to develop a plan for best practices when legislators are naming grants in legislation. So I just promised that, and I want to make sure that we mention that. So now I will move the adoption of the recommended items, right, that we have discussed this evening so far. Is there any discussion to those items? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, this is the motion for spreadsheet we're discussing?
Yes, the motion for as amended. Is there any discussion to the motion for document as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of motion for as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails and motion A4 is adopted as amended. Okay, now we will move on to the local government policy document. Okay. This document is here. We will move adoption of the recommended items on document titled Local Government Policy for Adoption, dated May 15th, 2025. If nonpartisan would please walk us quickly through this document.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first provision here is Senate language that permits certain open meeting laws the participants to participate remotely from a non-public location. The second provision increases the amount of reimbursement for an eminent domain. The third provision allows a public water and sewer system to install water and sewer lines within a public road right-of-way, and this is proposed to be amended by the A29 and A41 amendments, which are in your packet. Would you like me to briefly describe those now?
Please, go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the A29 amendment adds the provision that when installing these sewer systems, the district must comply with requirements under 161.45 in Minnesota rules, 8810-31100. And the A36 amendment, oh, I'm sorry, the A41 amendment inserts the word public in front of right of way. The next provision is provides what happens. It allows allows for posting on a website when a qualified newspaper is discontinued. The next provision increases the auditing threshold for an annual audit to $1 million for towns that combine the offices of clerk and treasurer. The next provision creates the Ramsey County Economic Development Authority, defines the powers, and also gives those powers to the Ramsey County Housing and Redevelopment Authority. The next provision removes the specific number of St. Louis County Deputy Administrators, and that is amended by the A36 amendment, and that just provides that the effective date will be after St. Louis County Board complies with the requirements for a special law. The next provision on this page increases the annual auditing threshold to $1 million for cities that use the standard plan and combine the offices of clerk and treasurer. And the last provision on this page increases the options for the membership for public utility commissions. So you can have 3, 5, or I think 7. Now I'll turn it over to Ms. Griffin.
Ms. Griffin.
Chair Cleaborn and members, for the record, my name is Chelsea Griffin, and I'm a legislative analyst with House Research. I'll walk you through the remaining items on page 2 of the local government policy document that details the proposed sections for adoption. The first item is an auditing threshold increase for optional Plan A cities with combined offices of clerk and treasurer. The recommendation is to adopt the Senate language. Next is Senate language that pertains to certain tire purchases by volunteer emergency services providers. Next is House language that requires a link to the electronic version of the Attorney General's Landlord-Tenant Guide be provided upon the issuance or renewal of certain rental documents. Next is House language that requires reporting conformity for aid distributions for towns and special districts. The next is the House repealer with the A36 amendment, which Mr. Watson explained it requires local approval by the St. Louis County Board of Commissioners in order for the repealer to be effective. Next is a technical section just providing an article effective date for the local government policy article. The language provides that unless otherwise stated, the provisions are effective the day following final enactment. And then the final two rows of page 2 relate to a Swift County Joint Powers Hospital District, decreasing membership, authorizing the changing of the membership of the Board of Directors through bylaws, and then making technical amendments. Those provisions are effective upon local approval. And Madam Chair, that concludes the walkthrough of the document.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin, and thank you, Mr. Watson. We appreciate your help there. So I just want to make sure that I have put that I've moved this to be before the committee. There are three amendments that were described in this document. The first amendment is the A29. Is there any discussion to the A29 amendment? That is the water and sewer lines trunk highway provision. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails. Next, we have the A41, which is the township, county, or state provision with the installation of also the water and sewer. Is there any discussion to the A41? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the A41 is adopted. The last amendment to this section is the A36 amendment, which has to do with the St. Louis County Board. Is there any discussion to the A36? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. The A36 is adopted. So now to the state and local government and elections provisions as amended. I would move those before the committee for adoption. Is there any discussion to the amendment as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the state and local government provisions as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails and these items are adopted. Moving on now to the elections provisions. I will move the elections and campaign finance proposed section for adoption. And we will ask Nonpartisan to please walk us through the document.
Madam Chair, Matt Gehring from House Research, and I'll walk through the document along with Ms. Dangle from Senate Counsel that is titled Proposed Sections for Adoption 5/18/2025 on the top, or no, excuse me, 5/19/2025 on the top. We'll just go really quickly through a number of sections that are here. First, item 2. Is language related to access to multi-unit dwellings by candidates and census workers. The proposal here is to accept two House sections with an amendment that is described in the right-hand column. Row 3 is the number of Senate-only sections that are proposed to be accepted related to terminology surrounding updating voter registrations. Row 4 provides for changes to the laws that govern registration by voters who live in residential facilities. And the way that they're vouched for. The proposal here is to accept House Section 5 with the changes described in the right-hand column. And then Row 5 was similar language between the House and the Senate related to the form of the voter registration application. The proposal here is to accept House Section 7 with a Senate effective date, Senate Section 25 with changes described in the right-hand column, as well as Senate Section 94, Paragraph A.
And then moving ahead to row six, this is a section related to absentee ballot, access to absentee ballot application data by members of the public. We'll just note here that it's crossed out, as my understanding is that there'll be an amendment related to this row coming next. Row seven is a proposal related to polling places that are located at places where cannabis is sold or served. There's a Senate amendment, A101, related to this topic that is proposed to be accepted. And then row eight is language related to party balance requirements for election judges. The proposal here is to accept House Section 26, again with the changes that are described in the right-hand column of the document. And then row nine on page five relates to the election reporting system. This was a Senate-only provision. The proposal is to accept Senate Section 60. Row 10 has to do with special elections called to fill legislative vacancies. The proposal is to accept Senate Amendment A113 with an immediate effective date. And then lastly, for this article of the bill is an effective date. Row 11, the proposal is to accept a July 1st, 2025 effective date. And there's one more item for this article, row 12, related to the terminology used to refer to election challengers or election observers. Again, this is crossed out. My understanding is that this is going to be proposed to be removed from this chart. And I'll have Ms. Dangle walk through the campaign finance article.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Gehring. On line 14, there are several Senate-only sections that are proposed to be adopted with the changes noted in the right-hand column. These relate to transition and inaugural expenses. On line 15, the proposal is to accept one Senate Section 35 and House Section 42 related to local campaign reports. On line 16, related to the time for filing statements of economic interest, the proposal is to accept Senate Section one line out of Senate Section 21 and Senate Section 48. On line 24, to accept the Senate provision on personal contributions to campaigns. On line 18, to accept Senate Section 43, except the lines noted in the right-hand column, and this relates to the distribution of, I believe that this is covered, this row was covered by an amendment that will be coming, so I think this row should probably be excluded because that's covered by an amendment that will be coming. On line 19, there are a couple of provisions that are Senate-only, Sections 46 and 47, that do some cleanup language related to some unconstitutional statutes that are repealed in a article that is a state gov article. And the last row 20 is the default effective date of January 1, 2026.
Thank you very much for that walkthrough. I just want to make sure that I'm clear. We are going to handle as separate motions, and members, please look at this to make sure I have it right. Line 6 and line 12 and Article 8. Is that correct? Is that what everyone understands, that we'll handle those separately? Okay. So with this document in front of us, we have four amendments that we want to address first. So I would like to move the A101, which is the cannabis polling places. Is there any discussion to the A101? Seeing none, all of those in favor of adoption, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails, and that A101 is adopted. Next, we have the A113, which is the special elections filing period. Is there any discussion to the A113? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the A113 is adopted. Next, we have the A8, which is the Campaign Finance Board technical fix and date changes. Is there any discussion to the A8? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. What is it? We're getting there.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a no shenanigans. Yeah. Okay.
Madam Chair, I just didn't hear you,
That's
I just
okay.
didn't hear you move the amendment.
Okay, the next amendment is the A9, which is the ballot drop-off amendment. Any discussion to the A9? Yes? Do we want to roll call that A9 amendment?
I would request a roll call on this matter.
All right, we will do a roll call. The A9 roll call has been requested. If the CLA would please take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Chair Cleavorn, aye. Mm-hmm. Chair Nash,
aye.
Chair Nash, aye. Representative Altendorf,
aye.
Representative Altendorf, aye. Representative Freiberg,
nay.
Representative Freiberg, nay. Yes. Chair Zhang,
yes.
Chair Zhang, aye. Senator Carlson,
aye.
Senator Carlson, aye. Senator Lang,
aye.
Senator Lang, aye. Senator McQuaid,
aye.
Senator McQuaid, aye. Senator Westland,
no.
Senator Westland, no. Madam Chair, for the House, the ayes are 3 and the nays are 1. And for the Senate, the ayes are 4 and the nays are 1.
With the majority of the House and a majority of the Senate approving the provision, the A9 is adopted. Next, we have two separate motions. Line 6, which is the absentee ballot data. Is there a motion for that? Which motion is that? Just the line 6. Okay. Is there any discussion to line 6, the absentee ballot?
Madam Chair, that was being removed. That's why it's stricken out on the sheet.
Oh, that's removed. Okay. I just want to make sure. That's why it was. I have it as a separate motion to remove it. So, okay. Do we not need to do that?
I think in adoption of the spreadsheet, it just comes off.
Madam Chair, that's the same on line 12.
On line 12.
Also being
okay, so we understand that line 12 and line 8 are 6. Line 6, line 12 are off the sheet. Okay, perfect. Just making sure we're all clear. Okay, next we have Article 8, Section 44, which would you like to discuss this?
Madam Chair, I'm actually making a motion. It is actually, I move to adopt Senate Article 8, Section 44 and 45. That would be lines 138.19 through 139.24. And you're side by side. This is the anti-bribery provision. And this has been something that was a topic of considerable conversation in both bodies. It did passed off the Senate floor, and I did want to take a separate vote on this. I will request a roll call, Madam Chair.
A roll call has been requested.
And just,
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. Just by way of some introduction, as we all know, this bill was dropped by me and authored by me in response to seeing payments for individuals or promises for payments to individuals to sign petitions. This would expand the anti-bribery provision to include inducements, in essence, for voters to vote or to register or sign petitions. There is provision here that allows for small, if there's a registration drive and they're providing water or pop to people, that wouldn't count. But this really is to get to the idea that millions of dollars were spent in 2024 and in this last election in Wisconsin to try to induce people to vote. And from my standpoint, Madam Chair and members of the committee, it seems to me that this is something that we should all be able to vote in favor of. I think there is, first of all, far too much money in our elections, but certainly we should not be inducing people to vote by offering them money. And so for those reasons, Madam Chair, I believe this is a good provision for us to adopt, and I'm asking members of the committee to vote yes.
Is there any further discussion to the adoption of Article 8, Section 44? And 45.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Oh, Article 8.
Article 8, Section 44 and Section 45. Seeing no further discussion, I'm sorry. Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to back up Senator Westland here and just say I think over the last
week, certainly. It has been very illuminating our role as a legislature. I feel a lot of camaraderie with my legislative colleagues on both sides of the aisle, in both chambers in this room, and I've been reflecting a lot on our role as a legislature and how it is distinct and separate from the role of the executive. And it just made me think a lot about our democracy, the way we make laws, the way our system is set up, and I think it's really important. And I think we've seen an erosion in this state, a blurring of the lines between the executive and the legislative branch, and I don't like it. And I've talked about it on the floor. I'm talking about it here, and I'm bringing that up because I think it's important when we say when things are wrong, whether it makes people that we like uncomfortable or we're saying something that, about someone we like, but it is wrong. And this is one of those things that is also wrong. We should not be bribing people to vote for us. And I hope that maybe in the last few days or maybe in the last few hours, as we've been sitting around here kind of, you know, making the sausage in weird ways, there has been some clarity for other folks too that, like, this is just, it's bad. It's just something we don't want to have happen in the state of Minnesota for any election, from any party, for any person. And so I want to back up Senator Westlin. I want to thank you for bringing this, and I really hope we can vote for it because I think it's important that that we're not bribing people to vote for other people and influencing elections in that way. So I encourage members to vote yes, and know that I'm doing it because I'm worried about what we do and don't do when it's viewed as partisan, and I'm taking it myself. And I'm taking that in myself, and so I'm just sharing that because I hope we can vote yes, because I think this is very important.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Chair Cleavorn, aye. Chair Nash?
No.
Chair Nash? No. Representative Altendorf?
No.
Representative Altendorf? No. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Freiberg? Aye. Chair Zhang?
Yes.
Chair Zhang? Aye. Senator Carlson? Senator Carlson, aye. Senator Lange?
No.
Senator Lange, nay. Senator McQuaid?
Aye.
Senator McQuaid, aye. Senator Westland?
Aye.
Senator Westland, aye. Madam Chair, for the House, the ayes are 2, the nays are 2. For the Senate, the ayes are 4, and the nays are 1.
Thank you. With a House vote of 2 in favor and 2 opposed, and the Senate vote of 4 in favor and 1 opposed, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted, or the article is not adopted. Next, Chair Zhang, would you please move adoption of the state and local gov and elections as amended?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All those in favor of the state and local government and elections provision? Oh, I'm sorry. Chair Freiberg.
Just to be clear, this is the election spreadsheet minus lines 6 and 12?
That is correct.
Thank you.
All of those in favor as the spreadsheet is amended and the lines removed. All those in favor of adoption, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails and the items are adopted. Next, we will move to the adoption of the elections spreadsheet. And I'm not sure, Ms. Thank you. When you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The election spreadsheet is timestamped May 16th, 2025 at 4 o'clock p.m. and is fairly straightforward. So moving through it very quickly, there is $200,000 the first year for transfer into the HAVA account. There is the operating adjustment for the campaign finance board at the governor's recommended level. Not in the bill, but just recognized on the spreadsheet, is the double counting in the fund balance of a one-time transfer to the general campaign account. There is a $760,000 one-time appropriation to the campaign finance board for litigation expenses. And there's also the repeal of the voting equipment grant account and a transfer of the balance in that account into the voting operations technology and election resources account.
Thank you, and I will make sure that I said that we move this for adoption. These are items that have been agreed to by House and Senate. Is there any discussion to these items? Chair Zhang, would you move the final adoption of this?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the Change items, elections, finance, 2025 session tracking, dated 5/16/2025, 4 p.m. is adopted. Okay, now, technical and conforming changes. I move to direct nonpartisan staff to prepare a conference committee report and incorporation of the spreadsheets and documents. And I also move that nonpartisan staff are empowered to make technical and conforming changes to the language approved by this conference committee in order to reflect the intent of this conference committee. All of those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails. Members, I want to thank you for your hard work. I'd like to thank all of our staff who made this happen. And we have concluded the business of the conference. Oh, Chair Nash, please go ahead.
Well, Madam Chair, I just wanted to thank our nonpartisan staff and our partisan staff as well. We've had some very good conversations. We've worked some long hours and wanted to thank our fiscal and revisor staff very much. They have worked their tails off for us, and I think we've had a good work product that came out of it.
Would any of the other chairs like to make closing comments? Chair Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would like to echo the thanks to our staff, and each and every one of them worked very hard, very long, and have communicated very well. So I'm proud of this bill. It's very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chair Jean?
Godspeed.
I'm in the same. Chair Freiberg.
I second all of those thank yous. I'd like to give a particularly thank you to the revisor's office in advance for working to put this together in the next 4 hours and 15 minutes. Or actually, hopefully less than that, so we have time to pass it.
Thank you very much, and I would echo that too. And for the revisors who've been working behind the scenes to try to get this, as much of it as could be prepared in advance, done. I know we've put you under an incredible burden, and I thank you so much for your service to the state of Minnesota. And with that, members, we are adjourned.